Hello, and thanks for joining us today on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about a very complicated subject, how to fit in society. Whether it's at home, at work, the country we live in, or the world as a whole, we're parts of society. How do we build the right relationship with society in order to make our life better? Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, we're all familiar with what social life's like, and we see that over time, or at least this is how it seems, that people tend to shut themselves off more and more from society because society is becoming ever more offensive toward people. And the interaction between man and society is very non-simple. And on this show, we'd like to really understand, what does a perfect relationship between man and society look like? If you can give us the perfect picture of the ideal society. First of all, we're developing all the time. And our development leads a person toward greater freedom from society. Imagine that a few hundreds of years ago, everyone had to dress according to their social status, regardless of who and what you are. You can be a farmer or some worker or a teacher, or you can work someplace, or maybe you're a unique, a great person. Everyone dressed in a specific way. And this is something that we don't have for a long time now. Today, you're almost free of these things. Of course, every workplace have their dress codes, but more or less this is how it is. Meaning we see that people, both internally and also externally, they're given freedom in their development. And therefore, man's integration with society, his connection to society, with society, is more and more in the hands of the person himself. And things in the past were different. In the past, if you wanted to belong, to be a part of a certain place, certain society, according to where you were born, according to your social status, you had to behave in a certain way, dress in a certain way, talk in a certain way. Whereas today, things are much freer. And then a person really has a need, according to his intentions, his goal in life. He has to adjust himself to different social forms, to different societies. Now, the question is, what are the laws of resistance, collision, communication, connection of man and society in the right way? In the right way, it's obvious to the extent to which they fit each other. Man fits society and society fits man. And this is the question. Can man give society what it demands of him? And can society give man what he expects of it? All in all, this is the entire buy and sell. Also, when a person is in a certain society and he fits in, still, there's all the time this kind of inner tension, very not simple, about his place in society, about different struggles and conflicts and power struggles in that society. What's the right connection? I mean, there's a kind of yearning in society, in the society that we live in, for an ideal society, so that you'll really be able to fit in society and feel good, to feel that you're accepted as you are, that you can realize yourself in the best possible way. This is only between a baby and his mother. that's it. What you're saying doesn't exist. Because a mother loves. What we're lacking here is love. You're saying that he'll do this and he'll do that and still he'll be accepted and so on. No. Society doesn't love anyone. Society is willing to concede something in order to gain some kind of benefit from you. And it always does the math. Is it beneficial or not? And if it isn't, goodbye. This isn't your mother. It's not natural love. And maybe we can develop loving relations, and the wisdom of Kabbalah does talk about it, but this is something that you have to work at. You have to learn how to do it. What are the principles of this work? It's love another as thyself. That if I can reach a state where I treat others the way I treat myself and even more, meaning that I appreciate them more than I appreciate myself, then there's no problem. If so, then anyone who's a part of that society that I say that it's more important than myself, he feels that toward him, I'm like a mother toward her baby. What you described up till now are different situations between the individual and society that a person can choose as if, do I want to be a part of this society or not? But sometimes we have no choice in life. I find myself in a certain army unit, and around me there are certain people, and I have to be there. I have to get along with those people. Let's talk about this kind of situation where I can't decide if I want to stay or leave, but this life, and there are also other such situations in life, but let's take this one for example. If I look at this group of people, suppose that army unit, what do I see? I see that this group, there are more and less popular people in this group. What's the difference between those people that became more popular, more favored in that group, than those that didn't? You can't tell. Grace, charm could be something very bad, but there's something about that person that others are willing to yield toward. Is it something that you can learn how to do? If it's a society that appreciates professionalism or a special form of character or something, then yes. But if it's ordinary people, like soldiers, then it depends on a person's character. To what extent does he know how to position himself? How cunning is he toward others? How devoted he is, maybe. Depends on the kind of unit, the situation. But all these things demand a person to make great effort. And there are those that aren't willing to pay the price. They can't pay the price. It seems too much to them. Meaning, their drive to be favored in the eyes of such a society isn't that great. Because it's all a matter of the desire that you have and how much are you willing to invest. Our sages said, buy yourself a friend. You also mentioned previously the matter of buy and sell and so on. Suppose I want to buy you as a friend. You're not my friend. You don't like me. I don't even know why. Maybe it is important to know why, but one way or another, I want to buy friends. How do I do it? What are you giving them? I don't know. To buy, it means that you have to pay. Pay how? You tell me. With what presents? By what services? You want me to be your friend? How? I don't exactly know. Were I to know, you'd already be my friend. So, that's not good. So, teach me. Maybe I don't want to teach you. Why not? I don't feel like investing in it. Why do I have to show you what I like? No, I don't mean that you're going to teach me as that other person. Of course you don't want to invest in me. That's my problem in life, that you don't like me. I'm telling you as a wise person, teach me how to realize the rule of buy yourself a friend. You have to study that person. Okay, that's the first stage. Study that person. What does it mean to study him? What is he like? What doesn't he like? How can you relate to him so that it'll be favorable in his eyes? Anything by which I can benefit that person or, God forbid, cause him harm. So it'll be clear to me. The main thing is the attitude, because maybe I am willing to benefit that person, but I don't know how. And the result is that that person rejects me. What do you mean the main thing is the attitude? That I know how to approach that person, how to turn to them. What qualities are important in order to connect with other people? What qualities can you say, traits can you say that they're significant? Equivalence of form. Meaning what? That I like what that person likes. That's it. So I actually have to find a person or a society that, to begin with, we're compatible on a very basic level. If I want to come closer to a certain person, I have to start taking interest in what interests them or to make an effort to come closer to them. Of course, so much so that maybe I'll change my habits, I'll change my taste in food, clothing, in everything. Because all in all, we have to be compatible, close to each other, and then we come closer. Does it also bring us emotionally closer to each other? Yes, because I better understand that person and that person understands me. Is there a difference between connecting with one individual and an entire society? Of course. Going back to the picture you gave us previously, where the ideal picture is where a mom loves her baby, and Yael said that this is how we'd like for society to treat us, and you said that there's no such thing in society. Now, when I was on my mother's arms, this was the best society for me. From there, things are only deteriorating. I join harsher and harsher societies. Now, suppose I go back to being a little child that didn't yet experience any kind of society, any group of people. I only have my mom that loves me. And I start developing in life, and in 20, 30 years, I'm going to be a grown person, that I'll have a family of his own, and I'll be a part of society, and so on. So I'm telling you, let's go back there and teach me a few principles of how can I join society right after I come out of my mother's bosom. What's the most important thing for me to know? The basic most important thing is that people won't feel your presence. Meaning what? Not for better and not for worse. As if you don't exist. You don't take up any space. Your ego isn't standing out. It's not conspicuous. You're like air. You're convenient for everyone. You're not causing good. You're not causing harm. You're convenient. Convenient to others? Let's say this is the first degree. Basic requirements. What does it mean to be convenient? That you're unseen, really. Your behavior, your personality, the way you talk, the way you fit in society, it's such that you don't take up any space, you're not felt as the disturbing factor. This is how you simply are. You're even unfelt, unseen. So I'm like air. Yeah, it's not that good. Wait a second. I told you, this is the basic form. Okay, what's the next stage? But we're talking about convenient. Being convenient in terms of not standing in anyone's way. You're not in the field of anyone's view. Okay, what next? When is that? when your ego doesn't stand out. Yosef, shut it in. What do you mean, shut it in? You don't use it. You don't use your ego at all, not even in your thoughts. It doesn't exist. What don't I think about? About yourself? Okay, I don't think about myself. What next? From here on, how can I fit in society in order to benefit it? And again, to keep that principle that they won't even feel my presence. They'll feel only good results that stem from me. What do you mean by good results? That they succeed, they feel comfortable, that suddenly things around them start falling into place. They didn't have to take care of it, and suddenly they discover, oh, it's because of him. But it's something that they discover, that I myself, as if, don't exist. I don't PR myself. If they discover, they do. If they don't, they don't. Yeah. Okay, this is lesson number two. Lesson number three. Lesson number three is that I will personally be able to gradually, slowly come closer to people and help them in whatever they need. And again, in a way that I'm not conspicuous, but it's no longer toward the entire group, but on the individual level. Toward which people in that group, does it matter? This is something more gradual, where it's more convenient, where it's possible, and up to the more difficult people. Not by the hierarchy, but according to my abilities. Is there anything else that you want to tell me, or are these the three steps? No. The fourth step, fourth and then fifth, but on all, is that I cause that society to connect, to come closer, that I influence them in a way that they start treating each other the way I treat them. And then I turn that society into a homogeneous society where everyone is connected in a good and nice way, where no one blocks anyone else's view, and you don't feel anyone's presence, but everyone works 100% for the benefit of society. And then society reaches completion and perfection. How does it happen? How can I bring that society closer? I mean, I become such a good example that everyone looks at me. How do I actually... This is the work. It's hard, non-simple work, where a person has to constantly keep himself in a way that he is an unseen servant. Today, we're in a society where, nowadays, where everything is very external, meaning that if you disappear, this is related to what he asked me about how to correctly fit in society. Right. So this is what I explained. I'm saying it's very interesting because nowadays it's really in contrast with the way society behaves today. Today a person feels very uncomfortable to disappear in a society, both because he feels that he doesn't exist and also because no one really cares about them. Obviously, because society is egoistic, and so you can become conspicuous only by making room for myself at the expense of others, occupying the best possible position, and look at everyone from above. In today's society, is it possible to act this way and nevertheless to be appreciated by that society? It has to be a special society where that person will be understood, appreciated, that people won't stand in his way because this is how he wants to work. If we'll come with such an approach, such rules, such an attitude to our modern egoistic society, then they'll immediately become suspicious. What is he doing? Why is he doing it? What is he, a spy of some kind or what? What's his interest? Of course. Is he a double agent or something? Treats everyone nicely, favorably, learns how to approach everyone. This is really suspicious, and it's really true. I want to ask about another aspect. We talked about a few different states. We talked about the optimum state where right off my mother's hands, that this is how I have to build the society around me, to be in the best possible way. Then Yael took us back to today's egoistic society. Now, I want to ask, suppose I have a group of young children that I start teaching them how to correctly build their relationships, how to correctly fit into society. Now, they're not angels. They're normal, egoistic children. And step by step, I want to take them and teach them how to correctly build their society, how to fit in. Now, I want to describe a situation. Tell me what you think about it. Naturally, children reject part of the people and bring other children closer. Now, I have a group of children. I'm their instructor. And I want to start advancing them toward that better, more corrected state where they're equal. Yeah, what's the first step? The first step is, if you know that that is the goal, to bring them to equality, then you have to see the state all the children are in, what kind of relations, what kind of attitude do they have toward each other. Someone's smarter, someone's stronger, someone's more cunning. What's more conspicuous in each of them, for better and for worse? You as if, look, you see the circle. In the circle you put them, who's higher, who's lower, and so on. You build their images in a circle, and you see that they're not equal. Yeah, they're strong and they're weaker points. Okay, I have this map now. Now, you have to create under them a state where, suppose, they're playing a game, and this game will give more to the weaker and less to the stronger until they become equal. Give more of what? For the weaker to soar higher and not to allow the stronger to soar too high. Equality in what? In their social status or what? Wait a second. Here we have to choose. What kind of game is it? I'm giving you an example. I'm not choosing what kind of game is it. And I'm not telling you how to examine them because you can measure people in different ways. How are they better? How aren't they? And so on. But this is actually the thing, that through the effort that we make in society, through a game or through the different relations between people, that will reach equality. Okay, I understand this. I have another question. Suppose this group of children that I'm their instructor, in that group there are those that are more connected and those that are more kind of outsiders. Suppose you and Yael, you're more connected and you're playing a certain game, and I see that there's another child who's not that popular, that he's sitting on his own. And, you know, if there's a child that you don't invite to play, it's always him. And I'm their instructor, and I want to start integrating that child into their game, should I ask of you, because I'm the instructor, should I ask of you to integrate that child into the game? Why am I asking? Because I see that when I integrate someone artificially, many times it ruins the game and you get the opposite result. Of course, because you're giving them the wrong game. You have to give them a game where that child will be necessary in the game and that the game will make him their equal. And so they'll become accustomed to him being their equal. It all depends on the circumstances that you bring to society that you create in it. Could there be a state where a certain society is balanced, and if we bring in another person, it will cause disbalance? Depends whom. There are many parameters here because we're talking about a relative kind of equality between people where no one's equal. Okay, previously we said that we have to arrange the children according to who's stronger, weaker, better, and so on. How do I define who's better, who's not, and so on? Define according to what you want, but accordingly, you have to define what game they're going to play. You have the initial parameters and the final parameters, where you measure them towards something. And then accordingly, you have to choose the game, build the game. Okay, last question. I have many more questions, but last question because our time's running out. When we're talking about how to correctly fit in society, what is the correct picture in which everyone is correctly integrated with one another? What do they feel? Love. Love is a mutual inclination to supplement each other. As it says, I for my beloved one and my beloved one for me. Can there be any kind of rejection in this situation? No, there is rejection, but we understand that it comes in order for us to cover all crimes with love, meaning in order for us to increase our connection. And therefore, we also need rejection. But this isn't our problem. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. All the best.